to episode 10 of Uncomfortable Conversations on Blueprint Coaching, our series about how not to avoid hard conversations, just getting in there, down and dirty, and having those talks that many of us find extremely hard. I'm pleased to have Sandy Ray with me. Hello, Sandy.
Hello, Sam.
You just got back from a whirlwind trip.
Yeah.
Yes. Sleeping in airports, diverted in the snow.
Yes.
Yes. So I'll go easy on you today.
Okay, good.
This is actually an interesting topic. We're going to walk through a conversation that you want to have with someone about bullying, who's bullying you. Mm. I just feel like the word bullying, you know, don't really use. The last time I used it was sort of like high school or grade school.
Yeah.
But it still happens as adults.
It still happens as adults, yeah.
So we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
I wanted to run a thought of the day by you and get your fabulous insights because you're oh so wise. And the thought of today is a person isn't who they are during the last conversation you had with them. They're who they've been throughout your whole relationship. And that is Rainer Maria Rilke. No idea who she is. However, the quote I thought was interesting. So it's a person isn't who they are during the last conversation you have with them. They're who they've been throughout your whole relationship. So what do you think? I mean, do you agree with that?
In a way, yeah, because it depends on what was happening in that person's life or that moment, if they were acting in a particular way.
That's a very good point.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, if somebody's acting in a particular way, but you know that it's a bit out of character, then you can say, okay, well, that's out of character. I've known her my whole life, and I know, or him or whatever, but you know, I know that they're not always angry, or they're not always shouting. It's something that's going on in there.
No, it's sort of like cutting them some slack because there might have been something. I think that's actually a very good point. This quote made me think of, there's a fabulous book for anyone interested in delving more into hard conversations. It's called Fierce Conversations, and it's by a woman named Susan Scott. It's a really great book. I get a lot of like my coaching material and insights from there.
Okay.
She says the relationship is the conversation. So every conversation you have contributes to or doesn't to the relationship itself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. Because also people react to things and sometimes they don't know that they're being like that. And other people can take it, that, you know, the person on the receiving end can take it in a way. You know, it could be a really intense situation where that person's they don't see or understand what they're doing in a sense, you know.
Yeah, they don't know how they're coming off.
They don't know how they're coming off.
Sure. They think, you know, we all think we're coming off one way, and then on the other end, it's different.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. And so I think there's a, you know, you were going to say something?
So that's why this particular one is interesting for me.
I think you can go both ways on this one.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you completely, and I hadn't even thought about that where they are during that conversation might be weird. And on the flip side, maybe...
And where you are, or what's something why it's triggered you. You know, so...
Well, that's true. Last episode, the challenge was to think about projection. You know, how often are we projecting our own issues onto a conversation? And so that's exactly what you're saying here.
Yeah.
A very good point. Giving me something to think about in this thought of the day. So, all right, let's talk for the next little bit about this bullying issue. Tell me what is going on, and then let's see what we can do about it.
Okay, so it's somebody that I've known for a while. She was introduced to me by one of my professors at the university that I study in England, the equine world. About 2 years ago, I was introduced to her. And for the first year, we sort of met up and talk, you know, I went to her farms, met her horses. She came to my farm, met my horses. And, you know, we just sort of generally chat to each other about questions or things that were happening. And she's done a lot of Pirelli training, And so about a year ago, I asked her, I rescued a horse that was in a quite a difficult situation in terms of, she was quite traumatized, the horse. So I asked this, my friend, if she could help me do some training with this particular horse, because I'd never trained one before. So she, okay, yeah. And she does do that, and she charges a fee, and, you know, so it's fine. So anyway, we worked out some sessions. So we did that for a while, for about 8 months, and everything was going fine. There were moments in some of the sessions where she would get quite sort of angry. She would get quite sort of, her energy levels would really go up, and she would be quite, she became quite shouty. back in last October, she asked me if I would do a work on a workshop with her, with a group of clients, six clients, Spanish, coming over for, going to the farm for a two-day workshop. So, and asked me if I would join her in bouncing some ideas around. So we spent a whole Saturday sitting together talking about ideas. She was telling me about, anyway, coming up with a plan. But it was quite in depth. So they were parts of the session that I'd never done anything like that myself, on my own with a horse, let alone in a group with a horse. So I was thinking, right, okay, this is quite challenging, but okay, I'm up for the challenge, you know. So we talked about doing lots of rehearsals, but she had to go away. So wasn't back until 2 days before the workshop, which I know was stressing her out. So I said, don't worry, another girl that was also working on the workshop and myself will rehearse, and we'll just send you info via email. So we did that. And then when she came back, we all got together and did a rehearsal before 2 days before the workshop started. But I could sense that there was a lot of built up sort of frustration, I think, because she'd been away, hadn't been able to test a lot of the ideas that we had. So we had this day where we were practicing and testing things. And so there were four of us. There was her, myself, another girl that was working on the workshop, and a friend of hers that had just come. She'd been visiting for the weekend, so she came to see what we were doing. And we all got involved in rehearsing these situations for the workshop. But she got extremely shouty at me, like very, very shouty, that just crossed the line, really. Just crossed the line, because she would always say to Alex, one of the other girls, oh, brilliant, great, great, Alex, great. But when it came to me, everything was negative. You know, don't do it like that. And are you not listening to me? You know, just but really harsh.
It's like she had it out for you.
Yeah. And even at the end of the day, when we finished, her friend came over to me with that sort of look on her face, like that feel sorry for me look, and gave me a hug and said, are you okay? You know, it's been a hard day. So even the other people noticed, you know, and I should have said something there and then, but they were going to the airport because they were going down to the south. So they had to rush off. So this person in particular that I feel is bullying came over, gave me a quick hug, brilliant, brilliant, okay, see you on the workshop, and left. So obviously that was kind of festering and has been festering in my head for a very long time. I wanted to speak about it, and I had a plan to speak about it at the end of the workshop a couple of days later. And also I kind of built up a little bit, because I thought, if she does this in front of the clients on the workshop, I don't know how I'm going to react, because it had really upset me at this particular time. So we did the workshop, and it did happen, not as bad as it had before, but there was a moment, an incident where she
got hysterical, or
yeah,
raised her voice.
Yes, in front of the clients, but only that only that once. But it still kind of made me feel really bad that night. And then I gave myself a big talking to. Look, you can either go around moping about it and everyone will see that you're moping about it on the workshop or about something, or just, you know, stiff up a lip, carry on, and, you know, and
how British enjoy, of you.
Yeah, and try and enjoy the workshop, because I was learning tons, you know. So I went in on the second day with a different attitude, and I was all very, you know. And the workshop went really well, and she was super, super happy afterwards. But again, had to rush off. So I know it's a conversation that we should have had, but I'm battling with this. I know that she was under a lot of pressure. I know I have a problem with bullying, and it's interesting you said, you know, it's funny because it's a word that you only sort of really use in the school playground, but it does happen in adult life. I think the word for me, bullying, is quite strong. I struggle with it. You know, it was around a lot of bullying when I was at school, so it's something that, and I don't know whether I'm attaching myself to that again, transference,
right? Like projecting.
Projecting.
Well, I mean, and they're good. It's good. They're good points you bring up, and also a lot of reflection. You know, is this me? Is this my issue, or is this actually happening? And I think I'm very big on both. One is kind of being conscious of whether this is your issue, or if this is happening. On the other hand, it's also kind of giving credit to your emotions at the time. The fact that you didn't feel right when she yelled at you, there is something to be said for that. Whether maybe you see it as bullying in like a larger context, you know, maybe someone else would just be like, oh, they yelled at me. And you're like, oh, no, this is bullying. Maybe you see it as a bigger thing because of your past. The point is that you didn't feel good when she did it.
Yeah.
Something rubbed you the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I think the question is, how important is it to you to say something about it or to deal with this?
I think it's really important, because otherwise it just otherwise it's like a trauma. You're not letting it pass through. It's just, it stays there, doesn't it? And it comes
stuck.
Up. Yeah. And also when I speak to her and see her, there's this kind of, you know, this kind of gremlin on my shoulder going, coming out with kind of all kinds of names and things like that. And that's not healthy to kind of have. To have that going on. It's like, say it, get it over with, clear it out, and move on.
Well, so and so I'm wondering, what is kind of standing in your way of saying something?
One thing is just that I've been really, really busy and we haven't seen each other. It's not something I want. I wrote an email after the workshop and I deleted it, because I just thought, I don't want to say this over an email. I want to sit down and talk about it face to face. And we just haven't. She travels a lot and I've been super busy and away a lot. And she was away all over Christmas, so we just haven't had time to see each other, to be fair. But there's also, I'm also hesitant, because I know that this is something that I kind of struggle with, and I feel, and sometimes I feel like, am I overreacting, or is this my thing, you know?
Well, and then this goes back to the owning your emotion thing, and how do you normally know when something is your thing or when it's actually there and worth speaking about? Like, what usually is a moment for you when you can tell the difference?
I don't know. It's something I've been working on for quite a while, because the equine therapy that I study is, you know, we talk and study a lot about emotions. And containing in a way emotions. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to react, but it's not okay to let it drag out and let it build, let it fester and let it build. You know, it's like when you see dogs. My little dog's always trying to hump the other dog, and after a while she'll turn around and just be. And he'll get off, and then they'll both shake, and then they'll go off and you know, one will go to, you know what I mean? And that's it. It's passed. It's that she's told him and he knows that she's being serious. And then they'll both, and then they'll shake it out, you know.
Right. And then they'll move on.
And then they'll move on. And that's that. They don't go sit in the corner and start going, oh, next time I see her, I'm like, oh, she's such a, you know, like we do, like I do sometimes.
Well, and I think that's a good point. And for me, whether this is your issue or an issue or something to be said, the fact that when you see her, you have this like little devil being like, rah, 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 and that you feel like it's stuck in you.
Yeah.
Whether you think this is something you're perpetuating even more or not, the fact that it's doing that to you says to me that this is bothering you.
Yeah.
And again, how, you know, how important is it to you to kind of get rid of this feeling so that when you see her, you don't have that little devil on the side?
I think it's important for that. And also, so that we don't, hopefully, we don't get in that situation again. Because I feel like by not saying anything, I'm actually saying it's okay to be like that.
And it's not okay. I mean, from what I'm hearing, it's not okay.
No, it's not okay. And even if she was behaving like that to somebody else in the group and not me, I would still feel that that's not okay to be like that, to be that strong.
Well, No, you're commanding respect in a way. You're kind of saying this is what I will accept and what I won't accept.
Yeah,
and you're setting the tone.
Yeah,
as well. So let's say you do decide to have this conversation, which, you know, from what you just said, sounds like you're leaning towards kind of wanting to have it.
Yeah.
What will it take for you to actually have it? I know you, and you are a person of action. So I know that even though you both are so busy, I know that when you want to do something, you actually do it.
Yeah.
So back to my question, I guess, what will it take for you to take action on this?
It's been about the timing, really. It's been about the timing. Timing and I wrote some notes here, the way we talk and the words that we use, you know, and not letting the emotion get in the way, and being emotional by when you're having that conversation or delivering it, being very matter of fact about it, you know, and I feel like it's okay to do that, and approaching people when you have a disagreement or something to say, or, you know, that you feel is uncomfortable, I feel it's a lot to do with how we say it, rather than bursting into tears and saying, "But you shouted at me and it really upset me," you know, because then, you know, because then it just opens up other things, doesn't it? And other things in that person. And also knowing that, I don't know, there's emotions in there as well.
You're 100, it's how you say it as much as what you're saying.
As much as what you're saying, yeah.
And, you know, we talked last week's podcast about kind of an opening and how you can speak to someone. And pretty much the idea is that you want to be as clear as you can on what it is that's bothering you and kind of what you want to get out of the conversation. If you tear up for whatever reason, I mean, that isn't the end of the world. You are human and you're showing your vulnerability, which is okay. But I think it's how you're approaching it, the words that you use. Are you being accusatory? You know, are you saying "we" as opposed to "you"? Things like that are it's exactly what you're saying. They're things to think about.
People always see me as this kind of tough, real tough cookie, this tough nut that just kind of does things, and you know. And in this particular situation, it's exposing the vulnerability, isn't it? And it's saying, "Look, this happened, and it really, you know, it really affected me. It made me. It affected me." And then you're showing your vulnerability, aren't you? And then suddenly that you know that person. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, no, that person sees that.
Sees
I guess.
That.
Is there another way you could look at you exposing your vulnerability? Like, instead of looking at it as something that you don't want to show? Is there another way that you could see it? Like, by her seeing your vulnerability, would that have any benefits? Mm. Would that do anything?
No.
No. No, that's it.
I don't think so. Well, she has seen me vulnerable, actually, in situations when we're working with the horses that, you know, there's something, work, parts of the work where I might not feel comfortable with it at a certain point. But then, so she has seen me feel in be vulnerable, I guess.
And what has resulted from that?
Perseverance, really, and encouragement.
From who?
From her. She is very sort of pushy and encouraging. And I like that because it gets me through situations that I find quite difficult. But then there's always a way of doing that. I don't mind somebody being pushy, and I don't mind that. It's just there's a certain tone, isn't there? There's a tone that you know is kind of crossing the line that anybody would take personally.
For sure.
Mm.
You know, and I think what you're saying is that she has seen your vulnerability, and in some cases she's been encouraging about it, even if she is pushy. It sounds like that's her character. It sounds like she's a pushy, firecrackery type of person. Mm. But when the times you have sort of opened up to her, it hasn't necessarily been all that bad.
Mm. No.
But I think what you're saying about crossing the line, she has to know where the line is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, then you can say don't cross it. But if she doesn't know what that is, what your line is, she'll probably cross it as much as she wants, especially if that's her character.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's different as well. Everybody's got a different sort of comfort zone with levels, right? I think as well.
For sure.
So some things affect people. Yeah.
Well, and because you say you're a strong character and people see you as that, they might think your level and your threshold is harder, like it's more durable than others.
Mm.
And so they might throw a lot at you because they think, oh, well, Sandy can take it.
Mm.
And sure, you can probably take a lot. There, it sounds like you have a line, like we all do, where you're, you know, that can be crossed.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm always a big fan of if you don't tell someone kind of what you expect of them or where you're at, they'll have no idea.
Absolutely.
So we are actually, God, time flies, right? We are out of time.
Okay.
But with coaching, so, you know, the idea is to leave with an action. And sometimes it's not necessarily an action that you're going to go do something, but maybe even something that's going on in your head now that wasn't. So, is there anything going on in your head now that perhaps wasn't 20 minutes ago, or that you're kind of thinking about, new awareness with in relation to this whole situation?
I think the more I think about it, the more sort of silly it feels.
Okay.
The more I think about it or talk about it, the more sort of silly it feels, yeah. But that's it. Oh, and I guess when I say silly, I guess ridiculous that this is still going on and it could have really just been nipped in the bud at the time.
So silly that you haven't said anything yet.
Yeah.
And not silly that you're thinking about it.
No, well, silly that I'm still thinking about it, you know, all this time. It's silly.
Well, but look, the fact that you're just in tune with yourself and how you feel is great.
Hmm.
And if you want to have the conversation with her and tell us how it went, be happy to hear. You should actually tape record it.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Speaking about tone and how things come off. Well, Sandy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting
me.
It's
been a pleasure. And for anyone who wants to hear our podcast, you can go to iTunes and look up Blueprint Coaching Podcast. You can also go to blueprintcoaching.ca and listen to all of our uncomfortable conversations. And as always, I'm going to leave you with a tip or a challenge for this week. And the challenge is take note of how many times you doubt yourself and don't listen to yourself. So at the end of the every day, you know, sit with like a pad and paper in bed or whatever it takes, and literally take inventory of how often you doubted yourself and wasn't on your quote unquote own team that day. We do it all the time, and I think some of us do it more than we think. So give credit to your emotions and, you know, start noticing how often you're not doing that. And on that note, have a fabulous weekend. Thank you to our executive producer, Catherine Gostani, and we'll be back with another episode of Blueprint Coaching next week.